Thank you, honey. And I also want to thank all of you who have chosen to spend this little bit of time with us. In seeking you, seeking the Lord tonight for you, he quickened to me what has been my favorite psalm, probably most of my Christian walk. I'd like to speak concerning the things that that are listed here, and I pray that they'll touch your heart as this psalm so often touches mine. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 63. Verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my voice, my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, and thy right hand upholdeth me. I spent years literally weeping every time I read this psalm. The reason being, my heart was so hungry for God. So every time I would read it, it was like spilling my heart, the very deep things in my heart before the Lord. How I longed to behold him. How I longed to be pleasing to him, to satisfy him, by obeying him, to yearn for him. I just couldn't seem to say it enough, or for my heart to be able to release those earnest longings deep enough. It seemed like deep enough for him to be able to hear, to know, to perceive the depths from which my cries were coming. I've been with him now for over 40 years. He's taken me to many places. He has opened his kingdom to me. He has sought to reveal his kingdom, to reveal him, to reveal the life of Christ to me, not as a teacher of the word might, but in such a way that a prophet who cried out for him day and night might understand experientially the things that he was being taught straight from the heart and the mind of God. Oh, how I wanted him. For me, it didn't matter what my outward circumstances were, if everything was going great, or if everything was seemingly going terrible. At the end of the day, I wanted Christ. And however he would choose to open himself to me to satisfy my longing, whatever it might be, whatever it might take, of course he knows me better than I know myself. But if we had to go through things to make him more real, then we had to go through things. I've never let any trial, no matter how tough it was, I've never allowed any trial to arise and steal his own place in my heart. No trial was greater than he was. No longing could make a difference outside of him. He was all in all. And today, after 40 years, I still feel that way. He's taken me into many, many levels of understanding him, of knowing him. As he allows me to know the greater things of himself, it does nothing but cause me to love him more, to desire him in a greater way. Think about this. What if the Lord, for reasons we couldn't possibly understand, suddenly decided to turn off the fountain of divine revelation from the peoples of the earth, those who were saved and those who were unsaved? What would life be like? I think for me, it would be so painful. I haven't words to describe the anguish I would feel. He's taken me personally to hell many times. I really could care quite less ever having to go there again. It's a horrible place to be. But on this particular trip, the place he took me, he escorted me to, was a place called Darkness. It was so dark in this place, you couldn't see your nose in front of your face. The horrors that were in that place to shock you every few minutes into greater and greater fear were terrible. You knew that if the light were to be turned on and you could see what they looked like, you would run. But then also, after just a few minutes of this kind of darkness, these kind of horrors, it was more than I could take. And then I realized he had left. He had left and left me in this place alone. I was terrified. So as the evil spirits were seeking to haunt and terrify me even more, I started to run. And in my heart of hearts, the thoughts that were on my mind were, what if I never get to hear his voice again? What if I never get to see his face again? I've got to find an escape from this place. I've got to be with my Savior. And I started screaming out his name, pleading for his deliverance. There was never a doubt that if I'm here, I must deserve it. That was not the point. The point was eternity without him. It was horrible. I'm crying. I'm weeping. I'm pleading. I'm begging, and I didn't care who heard me. I just wanted him to come back. Finally, when he knew that I had reached all that I could to endure this any longer, he came to me, got me, and ushered me out of that terrible place. Can you imagine the world without Christ? The Lord just recently gave me an experience where I experienced the world without Christ. Not only was he not interested in coming to the world as a savior, but he took off his godhood, just stripped himself of it, and came to earth and went to work as a carpenter. He was probably the finest carpenter in the world. He knew he was good. He stood before me. I don't even want to tell you all that I saw. It's too painful. I said to him, Jesus, why are you here looking like this? He said, just got tired of being God, honey. And I said, you can't be tired of it. You are God. That is who you are. He said, look, girlie, this is all right with me. I said, Lord, I don't call me that. Okay, Jesus, I can't imagine you being at peace with this place. It feels so awful. Sin abounds, the hatred of all things good, the love of all things evil abound here. It is like the worst place on earth is every place on earth. He said, well, I don't know what to tell you, girlie. I'm happy just being a carpenter. I won't go any further than that, but I will tell you that I experience life on earth without the holiness of God, without the righteousness, without the love of God. And it was horrible. Jesus is so beautiful. But the one thing that makes him the most beautiful is the beauty of holiness. And here he was, as though he had just simply taken off his crown and rejected everything it stood for. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And that's the way it was. It was a dry and thirsty land where there was no water. When you are in Israel in the heat of summer, going into the desert, in my opinion, is a horrible experience. I'd rather stay in the city. Because not only is the desert so hot, it is miserable, but it is so dry, you can hardly talk for the dry mouth that it creates. So it makes the heat very, very difficult to deal with. David is quite aware of this situation. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. David is talking as one who had seen him, saw his power, and saw his glory in whatever they were using at that time as a sanctuary. God is beautiful. He provokes such hunger, such passion to taste him. The Bible says, taste and see that he is good. Only he can provoke the heart to hunger for righteousness, to hunger for holiness, to hunger for his love, to hunger for the knowledge of him. He's the only one that can draw us unto himself. Even Jesus said at one point that it was the Spirit that drew us. So we have no capacity to want God to love God, to need God, except He put that in our heart. What about a world where God doesn't do that? What about living in a world that has already captivated your soul, has already captivated your mind, your heart? And it has no desire to let go. For you to hunger for God would be His worst enemy. So He's simply not going to allow you that privilege. Life would be terrible. But God has called us to Himself. And He wants to reveal His glory to us. He wants to reveal His righteousness and His power to us. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee. While I live, I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. It doesn't matter what's happening today. It doesn't matter where people are in respect to us at any time. Circumstances have not the power to distract us. We may let that happen, but they can't force it. My dear friends, there is only one life, only one. Death can usurp itself, but for the life of you and me, He mustn't usurp Himself over us. And over our longing for God, our hunger for the Lord. This is the quintessential reality to hunger and thirst for God. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." And that only comes from the Lord, our God, our Maker. He's here, but what if we don't care if He's here? As a Christian, what do we live for if not for Him? What do we hunger for if not for Him? What do we long for if not Him? He is everything, the beginning, clear through to the end. Our soul longs for the presence of God. Our spirit hungers and thirsts for the presence of God. When we arise in the morning, let it be to welcome the day with Him. When we go in to lay in our bed at night, Let our last thought be Him. If you have children, if you have a husband or a wife, you have 24 hours to love them all that you would want. But this moment of such a sacred time, when it's just Him and you, what better moment can it be than to hunger for Him, hunger for fellowship with Him, hunger to hear His voice, to know His heart, His mind, to know His will and be following it? He is our God. He is our God. He is the one who lives to satisfy our every longing, to bring you into His kingdom, to know Him as His Son knew Him. How wonderful He is, how glorious is His presence, His Spirit. How wonderful He is. Our hearts express songs of love and adoration. We loud His praises, because we love Him. We know the goodness that He is to us. We love Him. We want to see Him. We want to know and understand Him. He wants to call us into His chambers, that we may have all that our hearts would desire in the midst we may love husband, wife, children, grandchildren, but they cannot enter where Christ alone can enter. He alone can enter those secret corridors in our heart, those secret chambers in our heart. He alone has that right. He alone has that ability. Friends, relatives, houses, lands, cars, jobs, none of those places have the ability to grip the very depths of our soul and be Lord of them. God does so to reveal Himself as your Maker, your Creator. He answers prayer to remind you that He's here, that He is God, that He can answer prayer, that your prayers are important to Him. He calls you to Himself that He might reveal to you the sacred and the secret things of Himself to satisfy your every longing for Him. Cry out to Him. God, bring me into your chambers. Cause me to hunger for you. Help me to yearn to know you as you yearn to know me. I am nothing. You are everything. Help me, Lord. Be my King. Be my God. Be my Lord. You are all things good. I am weak. You are strong. Talk to him in these ways as one who knows. How he longs to reveal himself to us. And he longs for us to hunger for him as he hungers for us. David, knowing the responsibilities of running a kingdom, knew that his life was utterly, literally dependent upon his relationship with the Father. It was his job to bring the Father to the people, and it was his want to be with the Father. So I say unto you tonight, cry out for God, cry out for Yeshua, cry out for Adonai, cry out for the one who loves you until he satisfies you.